You're listening to the Hours as a Fury podcast. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
Welcome to episode 34 of Hours as a Fury. Today with Ryan, Blocksmith, and myself.
Hi, people. Hello.
What should we talk about first? I think the most talked about event, and you know, probably the event that has gotten the Ottawa Fury the most media attention ever in its history, has been the incident of the plane that happened on the plane from Ottawa to Atlanta. Ryan, can you sum up to the listeners what happened?
The team was traveling from Toronto to Atlanta, Air Canada flight, and before the flight, I guess a gentleman was pulled aside and questioned, and during the flight, that gentleman actually attacked one of the players. Tim, maybe you can fill us in more on exactly what happened.
Yeah, so this crazy dude, I believe he thought the team, who are all dressed in their black tracksuits, were some kind of elite hit squad sent to kill him. So he...
They are elite.
Yes. They're nice suits, too. But yeah, I guess during the flight, Oliver was asleep, and I believe he choked him with what they're calling his headphones.
Yeah,
and some passengers got in the way and broke it up. And
yeah, so the crazy guy was sitting behind Oliver Minatel and then used headphones to try and choke him, but no one got hurt, but the team was still pretty rattled after that.
Yeah, he had some marks on his neck, and there's a CNN reporter who was taking the same flight.
Yeah, that's probably why it got so big. You know, if he hadn't been on the flight, maybe it would never even have come out and they would have kept it quiet.
Yeah, the reporter, she was there and she got video of, like, right after, and then she
doesn't make very good iPhone videos, I have to say. Like, someone should tell her, like, if you tilt the phone, it becomes full screen.
Well, it's hard, you know, knowing these things when you don't have your pro film crew. But, yeah, I'm glad Oliver's okay. I'm glad, hopefully, that person gets the help they need and everything there. But I think it kind of made the team bond together a little bit. Like, it was kind of like a bonding moment.
Well, we'll get into it later, but it was kind of funny when they scored. They had sort of, during their celebrations...
Colin and Nikki.
Yeah, they pretended to choke one another or something.
Yeah.
I'm just curious as to what this guy's plan was for after. Was he, like, going to, like, karate chop the rest of the team?
Maybe it was just like, I'm going to take one of them with me.
Oh, whenever you're on a plane, like, I think, you know, we know from all the great movies that you can't do anything on a plane. You can't get away with it.
No.
There's nowhere to hide bodies. There's nothing, so. But anyway, yeah. But they made it to Atlanta safe and sound, and a game.
What a dreadful game, let's be honest. I mean, we're happy with the result because it's 1-1. It's a draw. It's always hard to get points in the NASL in away games. But it was awful to watch. It was just brutal.
It was painful. Like, we were talking beforehand that I usually watch the game over again, but I just couldn't put myself through it. It was that bad of a game.
And for those of you who have watched the game, I'm sure you can appreciate that, you know, we just didn't watch the game again, and we'll do the best that we can.
Yeah, we're all at the Heart and Crown, and we watch the game live, and they're having all the games there. So, all the away games. Home games, you should probably come down to the stadium, unless you don't live in Ottawa, then you can watch the games on the site. But yeah, we all watch the games at Heart and Crown, and I don't know, I was just like more interested in, like, I don't know, my food. Like, it was just, they're just playing long ball so much and just doing the same thing over and over and making the same mistake, trying the same thing over and over.
If I were to watch the game again, I think I'd be hard pressed to find any time where they made 2 to 3 consecutive passes inside the Atlanta's half. It was just 2 passes, loose ball. And Atlanta played no better. I thought Atlanta played even worse.
Yeah, thank goodness they did.
Yeah. Let's get into the lineup before we continue to discuss the rest of the game. So we played, obviously, with Pizer and goal, and then Randolph, was their left back, Falvey, Alves, or our center backs. Richter was a right back. And then our new Polish-Canadian Misik, Patterson, and sort of played the defensive holding midfielders. And then we had Poltronieri, oh my god, always butcher this name. Poltronieri, Oliver, and Hayworth in the front three, and then Heinemann in the top. So it was sort of like a...
No, it was Oliver was playing at the top.
No, I mean like striker, Heinemann.
Oh, yeah, but Oliver was playing kind of the center midfielder.
Yeah, I thought it was like...
Poltronieri's playing the winger.
It's a strange formation.
4-2-3-1, I think it was, more or less.
Yeah.
Which I like, actually. Oh, yeah, one more thing about the setup at the Harder Crown. It's nice to watch the games like on a big screen at a bar. Like, can you remember last year, like, how what a pain it always was to, like, bring a laptop and
stream it. The stream wouldn't work. So it's great it's on TV, actual TV.
My only issue is, like, the sound's weird, but...
Yeah, they don't play it loud enough. You can't hear any of the commentary. You just hear sound. And you didn't hear much crowd noise because there wasn't much of a crowd at the game.
Yeah, but they have those seats that are like multicolored, so it doesn't look like it's empty. It was totally empty.
Yeah, there's only 3,800 people there, so.
Okay, that's actually more than I thought.
Well, it's better than Edmonton, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So yeah, we already talked about a lot of long balling from the Fury, which is just so against the philosophy of what Dos Santos' football stands for. But we keep on resorting to that kind of play.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just, you know, they're just reacting or they're just trying to get rid of it quickly. That Heinemann's just not that guy to, like, run balls down and hold them up and pass them off. I mean, he tries his best, but, like, some of these balls are just ridiculous. And they just keep doing it over and over again. And then when they pass it around, they get attempts at the net and they go back to long balls again. Yeah. It is weird. They're a lot better on the balls on the ground.
Yeah, I'm hoping then that when De Guzman comes back, maybe there will be some better distribution from the back and so on.
And the few times they did hold on to the ball and carry the ball up the field and not just loft it up the field, they did really well. That's, I think, all the opportunities came from that. I don't know if any opportunities came from putting it in the air. But... it was really frustrating. Hopefully this week against Minnesota, we'll get destroyed if they play like that. Because Minnesota's got all the size, all the height on them, and more physical team than our team. So.
Well, in terms of game events, Nicky Patterson scored off a really nice free kick in the 29th minute. That was one of those balls where the keeper, like, he can't make a choice yet. Because someone could potentially touch it and steer it in another direction. So the keeper had to wait a very long time, and then in the end, no one touched it. Or maybe there was a slight touch from a center back from Atlanta, and then, boom, it was in the net. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice to see those bounces kind of go our way for once, because I think we let in a couple of those last year.
One of them was like in the 93rd minute or something. Yeah, so that was great. And we took that lead into halftime. I think one chance worth noting was Heinemann came running alone towards the keeper, sort of from a relatively tight angle, and then he did just the weakest of shots where everyone was like, no!
Yeah, the Heart and Crown weren't too happy about that.
Everyone was cheering. Everyone's like, yeah! Oh!
It's like a slow dribbler to the goalie just like dropped on.
And then we actually, before halftime, we almost conceded a goal, but Pizer saved it really well. Like, he jumped out of the goal with two fists. And
Yeah,
Pizer played really well.
Yeah.
He played really well the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And he's up for, isn't he up for Player of the Week?
Play of the Week.
Oh, Play of the Week. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I had to say, if there was one Fury Man of the Match, I would definitely go with Pizer.
Yeah, this game, Pizer, for sure. Last game, Haworth. This game, Pizer. Yeah.
Yeah, and then in the second half, in terms of attractiveness of the play, it stayed constant. And then they scored on us in the 56th minute. Now, the only nice thing about that goal was that Kyle Porter scored, and he's a Canadian. It's always good for Canadians.
No, there's nothing nice about that goal, John.
I know. But it's worth noting that, you know, Atlanta Silverbacks had two Canadians in their lineup.
Yeah, and what was the other Canadian?
Opon.
Right. We had a little argument before the game. I was like, no, he's not Canadian. And John's like, I know he is. I've been following him for years. So I have to publicly give John kudos for knowing every single Canadian player in every lower division around the world.
Yep. Yeah, actually, his brother, Victor Opon, is in an 8th division team in Germany as a player coach.
Is there 8 divisions in Germany?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, back to the game. As you can see,
we should mention the offsidedness of that goal.
Oh, yeah, it was totally offside. And the funny thing is, the linesman was right in line with it and, like, obviously didn't call it. But it was just such an obvious offside.
I saw some pictures online where the linesman was behind the play a little bit, like the angle. But he was with the play, and just before the pass, he fell back.
Okay.
So, but still, once again, we get screwed by officiating. It's just something to expect.
Yeah.
At this point.
So in our notes for the podcast, it says in brackets, Shaka Bangura. What does that refer to?
He was the assist.
He was
the one
giver.
That passed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I copy and pasted that from OFFC reviewer or something. Thanks, Namu.
Yeah. So a 1-1 draw. I thought both teams played not very well. And which is weird because Atlanta, I heard, played really well against Indy. And people were kind of like really surprised by Atlanta's play in the first week. But the whole league has been weird stuff. Like Minnesota hasn't won a game yet.
Yeah, but they only had one game.
They only had one. New York drawing Indy.
Yeah.
And so, San Antonio losing their first game at home.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that. So maybe the cards will fall our way this Saturday.
Possibly. Like, when I watch Atlanta and I see that empty stadium and stuff, like, I just kind of feel for their supporters. Like, it must be such a screwed-up situation, like, to have a team that's, controlled by NASL and, like, you know it's going to move or something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But maybe they already have their mind on the MLS team. Is that confirmed, by the way, that Atlanta's going to have
it? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're probably just going to switch over to the MLS team, you'd imagine. Unless they're, like, super masochistic and then they just, like, support wherever the Silverbacks go.
It just seems weird that, like, you're getting an MLS team. I assume they expect, you know, 20,000 to 40,000 people. They're huge soccer fans, yet they have a team already in Atlanta and they can't get 4,000 people for it. Like, how hardcore are you, a soccer fan, that you won't go see an NASL team?
Yeah, especially with the Ottawa Fury in town.
Yeah, it's a huge draw. Who doesn't want to see the Fury? No, but it's a huge metro area, right? Mm-hmm. And they've had the team for how many years? Like, it goes way back to the USL days. It goes back to the A-League days. And there's, you know, they only get 3,800 out.
But they just say Atlanta is not a good sports town, right?
Right, yeah. It's a big town. Like, I think it's 6 or 7 times the size of Ottawa.
Mm. Well, good luck to them, I guess. Hopefully we'll beat them when they come to Ottawa, and let's take a break. You can find us on Twitter at Ottawa Fury or email us at oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, we're back. Now we have to do the listener questions, which is actually my favorite part of the podcast, guys.
It's grown,
yeah. And we'd like to thank everyone who sends us questions. You can do that on Twitter at Ottawa Fury. And what's our email address, John?
It is oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh, fancy. Okay, what's our first question, Tim?
It comes from Andrew McVicker, who asks, who should be considered our penalty kick taker? Rank our top 5 in order of preference.
We probably should have prepared for that question.
Let's do 5 total.
Yeah, well, Nikki Patterson favored this tweet, and then I asked him if him favoriting this tweet means, you know, if it's a subtle way of him saying he wants to take penalties, and he favored that one too.
So we're going to go number one, Nicky Patterson.
Yeah.
Well, he did miss one last year.
He did.
Oh, well. Odds are he's not going to miss the next one.
That's true.
I don't think Fury are good with odds and penalties.
Well, De Guzman is going to have to step up with all his experience.
Right. Oliver scored penalty last year.
Yeah.
That was a missed one.
Yeah, preseason one, too, I think.
Heinemann scored. Heinemann's one for one last year.
Okay. Richie Ryan is the captain. I think you have to, kind of.
Okay, that's four.
And,
Pizer. No.
I wonder who else would make sense.
Sparky.
Alves? Diego Alves, maybe?
Yeah, someone with
experience. He takes free kicks and... I wouldn't say Wiedemann, because Wiedemann got passed up in Carolina.
Remember the crossbar challenge last year? Who won that? Donatelli won that.
Oh, that was Soria.
Was it Soria? Oh, okay. Two players we don't have.
I miss Donatelli.
I'm a Soria, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Fifth player. Oh.
Fifth player will just be a random player, whoever feels confident that day.
Paul Cinieri?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll go with him. He's everyone's favorite right now, so... another question, John?
Yeah, Namu, who is at BBSC_Soulbro, asks, what do you guys hope to see as the biggest difference on and off the field at TD Lansdowne in 2015 besides more wins? Well, I'd like to see higher attendance numbers, for one.
I'd like to see less on-field advertising.
Oh, yeah, that was a sore spot from last year. I'd like to see some different formations, like trying some different things. So, not always a 4-3-3.
I'd like to see an MLS team in the V Cup.
Oh, yeah. I would like to see Vancouver playing in Ottawa. And just because I hate the Whitecaps so much.
I would like to finally see Ubi, Richie Ryan, and De Guzman play in the same midfield.
Yeah, those are all good answers to that question.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Well, I'm going to mess up this guy's name, but Jonah Heron Fiend asks, why is everything bad happens to Oliver?
Yeah, and you got to mention, he tweeted this with like a picture of Oliver with like a really bloody face after the New York Cosmos game last year.
The elbow.
He got an elbow to the face, and now he was nearly strangled to death with earphones on a plane. You know, bad things happen to good people, I guess.
Yeah, he's 22 years old, he's far from home, you know?
Great life experience so far here.
It's not always like that here, but yeah, I don't know. Poor Oliver. But, you know, I think he played really well, and we don't know how he's actually doing, but I'm sure he's fine. He seems fine.
The interview they took on the plane, he seemed okay.
He actually
always seems like he's in a really good mood. And
yeah, he kind of chuckled even in the interview. So, yeah. What's our next question?
Jeff Salisbury asks, Fury's attack looked a flat in Atlanta. What needs to change to ensure a positive result at home this weekend?
I think we covered that. We got to stop doing the long balls in the air and making the same mistake over and over. If something's not working, they have to adjust.
Yeah, get some key players back from injury.
Yeah.
Martin Burt, who I don't think has ever asked a question before, so thank you for that. He's at OVTC, as in Charlie, and then 6, but not the number, but SIX. Even considering Ryan's absence at DCM, is the new center D pairing an improvement on last year? Bring back Trafford. Well, I don't think Trafford ever played in the DCM position. He was always a center back. I don't think that the midfield we saw last week is going to be something that we're going to do every game. I think that was definitely a makeshift midfield, especially since we have De Guzman and our captain, Richie Ryan, on the bench.
To get to his question, am I happy with the two defensive pairings, center defensive pairings? I like Alves a lot. Falvey's, I think, had a couple of off games, which is, I'm a bit surprised they haven't put Trafford in yet. Maybe we'll see him on the weekend.
I just wanted to apologize. I totally misinterpreted that question. He's asking if Trafford
If we should go back to center back, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I would love to see Trafford back. I think he brings a little stability. Falvey, he had a good chance on Saturday, but I don't think he's really kind of taken on that role yet.
I don't think Trafford did anything to lose his spot, and I hope we'll see him in the upcoming games. So he's been strong for us. And
yeah, I think he was the player with the most minutes last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's only one game he didn't play in. He played every minute except for one game.
Okay.
So he was the Iron Man last year. So hopefully we'll see him lots, and maybe we'll need him with all these games coming up, the Voyagers Cup games and the league games all compressed together. So yeah, so I'm going to read the next question. It's from Matt Bafia, and it's at Matt Bafia, B-A-F-I-A, on Twitter. What is your expected home opener attendance, and what should be done to better promote our team? Which is a constant theme.
I know, and I freaking hate this question, because imagine a world where we didn't have to ask it, and the marketing team was doing as much as possible, you know? And, like, we knew we're getting the name out there, and, you know, we'll just see what happens, but it's all we could have done. You know, if this team folds, let's say, in a few years from now because we don't get enough people, Ryan's looking at me like I just killed a relative of his. You know, we can't really say that, you know, we really had a good go at this. Like, I really think they could be doing so much more. I mean, the question is, what are they doing? Like, in my market, nothing. Like, in my friend's market, nothing. They might be doing stuff with families, which is great, but beyond
you have to give them kudos for the Fury Fanatic program. That is,
yeah,
that is
great.
One smart move. Their Fury Fanatic program, it's local soccer teams. I think anyone under 14, the kids get free tickets to the match. Of course, the parents have to come along, and they buy their tickets and all the popcorn and hot dogs they sell. I think it's great, and it builds the brand for the future.
Yeah, it's very different from what they're doing in Jacksonville and what Indy did last year, is that those teams are actively going out in the market and finding people. And it's not by coincidence, and it's not they're just lucky, and it's not a different city. They're actually going out there working, and it's actually paying dividends for them, and they're filling out.
But they have the staffing for it too, and I think with them it's a one, like Jacksonville and Indy, that's all they have. They're not running a hockey team. They're not running a Canadian football team as well, right?
Yeah, but you know what? That might be true, but I really don't think it's a financial issue. I think it's a skill issue. Like, I think if we had someone in charge who knew what he was doing, and I got to be careful here because, like, I don't want to paint it too negative a picture, and there's a lot of things that OSEC does that is great. But, you know, when you see other teams, like, they come up with really cool animated pictures of matches and, like, all these little things. Like, they
all add up.
They all add up, exactly.
Yeah.
And I just don't see any advertisement in the city. I don't see any gear. I don't ever run into people that are soccer fans that have heard about the Fury. I always have to tell them about it, you know?
Right, yeah. It's all just things we've talked about last year at length, too, right?
Yeah,
and we will.
And we will. Hopefully 2 years from now we're not. You know, there's always, things can always change. But to answer Matt's question, expected attendance, I'm thinking we're not gonna get about 7,000.
Really, that many? Eh?
Yeah, the weather's supposed to be nice, like 18 degrees, right?
Are the Senators playing?
No, the Senators are playing the night before. Our local hockey team is in the playoffs here, and that's pretty much the religion in this city. So
I'm gonna say 5.
Yeah, I'm also thinking more like 4 or 5.
Yeah, and I'm always the optimist, so. Yeah.
Again, for reasons we just explained.
Yeah.
And then Fury Fanatic, who's at Fury Fanatic, asked, how do you think MDS should handle squad selection in the upcoming weeks? Strong 11 for Amway or NASL? Who do you rest to keep fit?
That's a good question.
Who wants to take that?
Well, I think that, you know, if everyone's fit and everything's ready to go and you had to choose, I would rather them favor the Amway.
Absolutely.
But with players coming off injury and suspension, I don't know their physical fitness, so I can't really say, well, we should play Ubi here, Ryan here and here, because I don't know.
Well, it's really early in the season. I don't think resting is that much of an issue at this point.
But the injuries are an issue at this point.
Yeah.
So I'd rest the players with the injuries as much as possible. Like at Richie Ryan, I would go light with him right now. Ubi, just and get the most out of the players that are fully fit. But at the same time, like I prefer the Voyagers Cup over league play. But every league game is so important, especially with a nine game spring season.
Yeah,
like every game is important. You can't throw away a game at all. So, and I think the number one team has 4 or 5 points right now.
Yeah, it's 3 tied at 4.
So there's 3 tied at 4. So we're 2 weeks in at a 9-game spring season, and we're only 3 points out of first place, right?
Mm.
So every game is crazy important, so, yeah.
And we asked you a question because you're crazy like that. Not murdery crazy, but...
Not sitting behind you on a
just regular
plane,
crazy. We asked, how are you... Or who are you most looking forward to seeing in action or back in action at TD Place this Saturday?
And Mark Lapointe, who was at Keek16 on Twitter, sort of tongue-in-cheek answered, the mini donut vendor.
I'm not familiar with this person. Were there mini donuts there last year? I don't remember.
Where are they? I want to know where.
Well, I know who it is, and we might have him on the podcast one day because he does have an interesting background. He was a very successful university soccer player here in Ottawa.
No, not Mark, the mini donut vendor.
Oh.
Where are the mini donuts? I need to know this. Actually, I'm going to get a hold of you, Mark. We're going to talk about this.
I like the lemonade a lot that they have there.
Yeah.
You can like have your own flavor and it's huge and I love it.
It'd be great if they opened up the vendors. I know they never will, but the other vendors on the other side of the stadium with all the gourmet food and all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, for concessions, we're pretty lucky, actually. Compare that to Olympic Stadium food, the Montreal Champions League games that we went
to. Yeah, John and I went to...
Wet hot dog buns with, like, raw hot dogs.
Awesome. It was, like, the worst stadium food in any stadium I've had anywhere. Olympic Stadium, Montreal. Way to go.
A city known for its gourmet food.
Yeah.
And another question came to us from Andrew McVicker, and he said, on the pitch, Julian de Guzman and Weedman. Not quite his name, Andrew, but we'll take it. And off the pitch, Welchie. For those of you who don't know, Welchie is a prominent, notorious Stony Monday Riot rioter.
I'm scared of him.
Yeah.
No, he's a great guy. I love him. Yes.
And Irish Music Ottawa at Irish Music OTT. Richie Ryan, of course.
Well, they probably don't know that we have another Irishman
in our squad. He knows. Yeah, he knows about Falvey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Falvey hasn't played well enough to earn
the Irish Music Ottawa approval.
Yeah, Matt Hawkins says, okay, so get back to our question in case you forgot. Who are you most looking forward to seeing in action at TD Place? Matt Hawkins says, the Goose with Oliver. And some play along the ground. We totally agree. All the long balls need to be stopped now. Work on passing.
Absolutely. Like, we're not Scotland in the 19th century.
Go Motherwell.
Yeah. And Fury Fanatic says, Paul Cineri, simply because he'll thrive off the vibes from Section W more than anybody else.
I don't know why. Why would he thrive more than anyone else?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but Stu seems to know the team very well and knows the characters and stuff, but he's an energy guy too, right?
Yeah, we'll take your word for it,
yeah,
Stu.
Yeah, for sure.
And Martin Burt, looking forward to seeing Pulcinari for the first time in person and Patterson back in action. I'd like to see Trafford get a game.
Yeah, we can agree with that.
Fully agree.
And then Darren in Ottawa, who also might be a first-time contributor.
No, while you're gone, he contributed.
Okay.
Yeah, for you.
For me, it's an honor, Darren. I'm most looking forward to seeing disappointed Minnesota United players on the field after 90 minutes.
Yeah, because last year they were laughing at you in the parking lot. Right?
Yeah. But that was different circumstances.
Was that on the way to their portable?
Yeah.
Portable slash change room?
That was back at the... the temporary site there at Carleton University before the stadium was open, the players had to walk across the parking lot to go to the change rooms and mingle with the fans on the way.
Which the academy team will be playing at, which means we should do a homecoming of sort.
Yes. Go back to Carleton.
Cheer on the young lads at Carleton and bang on those aluminum seating arrangements. Maybe have some guards stare at us weirdly.
Yeah. There won't be any beer tickets, though.
So. I'm so desperate for, like, home stadium football that I'll take anything, really. I can't wait, man.
Yeah.
Five days away. Five sleeps.
Well, depending on when you listen to this, it might already have been. Yeah. So, gotta be careful with this.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll take a break before this escalates. Welcome back, guys. Hey, it's not too late to join us to go to the New York Cosmos home game against Ottawa Fury on May 2nd. To find out more details about this, go to www.stonymondayride.com/cosmostrip. We'll be there. The RSS the Fury team will be there. Stony Monday Ride will be there. Even some members of Bytown Boys will be there. And I hope you'll be there, too.
Speaking of New York, it's time to take a look around the league. What happened this week? Week 2 of NESL. Tim, can you run us through some of the scores?
Sure. At the Battle for the Atlantic Derby between Fort Lauderdale and Jacksonville Armada FC, that's what they're calling their derby. Fort Lauderdale 1-2-1. In front of, you know, just less than 5,000 people. Which is a dramatic drop from their almost 12,000 people they had last week.
Wow.
Yeah, but this was at Fort Lauderdale, wasn't it? Or was
Yeah, both Fort Lauderdale had 11,500 the first week.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A good 240% drop in attendance.
Wow.
Wow, did you do that math on the fly?
No. I can't do that.
A game I thought would be an easy win was the New York Cosmos against Indy 11. And it was a draw. 1-1 draw, Indy in New York.
And Raul scored.
True, his first goal.
His first goal was scored on North American soil.
Did you see video of it?
No, but Blocksmith described it to me in such passionate fashion that I can picture it right in front of me. It was a header from about 5 yards out.
Yeah, straight down. End of that.
Pretty easy goal.
And that was witnessed by 10,524 Indy fans.
Yeah, their 15th consecutive sellout. I think they've sold out every game, right? Every home game?
Pretty much, yeah.
But it's weird because their sellout number is always different. When do they stop selling tickets?
There's a range.
That's a range, okay.
I guess I assume they have standing room. And they don't include that.
Yeah. Off the field, a team I like what they're doing is the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And they hosted the mighty Minnesota United FC.
Yep, 0-0 draw. It's interesting that Tampa played San Antonio, you know, last year's winners. Beat them at home. They played Minnesota, they tied at home. Next week they go to New York. Or this week coming up they go to New York. They get a win or even a draw out of that, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's so tight in the standings right now. FC Edmonton played their first home game in Edmonton a week before us, and they're way up north. And they drew the Carolina Railhawks 1-1.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise. I mean, Carolina's always had trouble playing in Canada, but not today in front of less than 2,500 people.
Man, that is worrying.
It is worrying because they had a special promotion on in Edmonton where they gave away free tickets at Canadian Tire locations. And I believe all you had to do was go to Canadian Tire and pick them up. And they only drew 2,400. And the weather wasn't terrible or anything.
Were the Oilers playing a playoff game by any chance?
The Oilers, they're just so used to seeing the Oilers win. Anyway, that's not a hockey podcast, so... Let's move on. Why do you have to scratch the scar?
So, yeah, a lot of draws this week. kind of funny to look at the table now so early on. You know, San Antonio in last place. Minnesota hasn't scored a goal yet. but yeah, things will definitely change and probably look more similar like last year going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely funny with the bye week. Each team getting a bye each week.
Yeah, 11 teams. And what do you think, guys? A little off topic, but every week they play almost all the games at the exact same time. Don't you think they should spread them out? Like, do like a Wednesday night game, a Friday game, Saturday, Sunday? Like, to get more exposure for the league? But instead of doing like four games at 7:30 on Saturday night, all in the same time zone, and then have another game at Sunday in the afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, from a like a competitive standpoint, I guess it's more fair to have them all at the same time because it's the same conditions for everyone. Otherwise, there's like issues with scheduling and spacing.
6-day break, 7-day break,
yeah,
5-day break. Yeah.
No, I think it'd be nice to have like a Thursday night or Friday night game to have like that specials game, and then kind of, you know, stagger the games throughout the weekend. Some afternoons, some nights, some Saturdays, some Sundays. But I mean, with the new broadcasting, it's hard to get archived games now.
Yeah, for being in Canada without a VPN, it's very hard. Without a ESPN account, it's very hard to watch archived games.
So. Or live games.
Yeah, or live games are hit and miss too, depending.
Because not all teams host them on their websites, right?
No, only the Canadian teams do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but coming up this weekend, we have Minnesota.
The home opener. What we've been waiting all long, long winter for.
Yeah, and it's not the easiest team to play right away. I mean, Minnesota was the best team last year, and they only narrowly got defeated by Fort Lauderdale, I guess it was. And wasn't it? Fort Lauderdale beat Minnesota, didn't they?
When?
In the semis?
Yes.
Yeah, and of course they're going to MLS, so maybe they don't even care anymore about the NASL.
Yeah, the players just stop competing. And it just all falls apart. The next 2 years are disaster in Minnesota. No, they still got a very strong team. All they did was add to their team. They didn't really subtract anyone.
Yeah, I'm surprised that neither Ibarra nor Ramirez went anywhere else.
No, and well, those players. I'm curious because I heard rumblings that Minnesota's salary is at least four times their payroll is four times what our payroll is.
We must be towards the lower end of the league.
Oh yeah, for sure. And plus, yeah, our payrolls and Canadian funds too. So, and the dollar's been going down like crazy.
And we have higher taxes, so players don't want to come here. Higher living expenses, but, cold weather.
But I kind of wonder what their payroll is, because it must be higher than like most MLS teams, especially ones without DPs.
Well, you'd imagine otherwise. Players of the caliber, you know, someone like Ramirez or Ibarra, like they would have gone somewhere else by now.
Oh, they're definitely like healthy six-figure contracts. You gotta imagine. Like, the reason why we're guessing is because the league does not release any of this information, and no one really knows. If you want to leak that information to us, our email address is...
Ours is thefurypodcast @gmail.com.
Yeah, and we will not name our sources. But, yeah.
Yeah, Ibarra got called up to the U.S. national team again, which is good for the NASL, some exposure.
Yeah, they big game against Mexico on Wednesday. I think it was his fifth call-up. And I expect Ramirez to get a call-up soon.
And do you guys know anything about this Brazilian midfielder that they signed? I think his name is Ibsen.
No, but I've heard good things, and the people in Minnesota are excited. I've been following them online, and they're very excited. I didn't get a chance to see the game last week due to the new streaming agreement, but...
Yeah, they play kind of a 4-5-1, and they have Ibsen and Ibarra in the center midfielders, and they have Aaron Pichicolin as the CDM. Wow. It's a very, very tight center. So it's going to be tough playing through the middle.
I'm scared.
So hopefully they don't try to long ball it over the midfield.
Yeah, always. Minnesota's always strong. Like I said earlier, tall, physical team. They'll muscle you off the ball. Very intimidating.
We've never gotten a point against Minnesota in our
short Have we ever got a point off them? No, mm-hmm. They beat us at Carleton. And then
in the last minute, yeah.
Did we draw them at the big game, remember?
No. Their attendance record?
Their attendance record, yeah.
They can't actually see these geese feet that we're making.
There was a bad penalty call in that, as I remember.
And bad turf.
Oh, yeah.
One of our players got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, but who knows? Anything can happen. Minnesota is like only has 1 point this season so far. We only have 1 point this season. Home opener, lots of excitement, so.
Yeah, if you've been watching the Fury for the last few years, they do play the bad teams, you know, kind of off, but they're always up for the Minnesota, San Antonio, Cosmos games. Like every game against Minnesota was really tight last year, and they always played them. And we were very, very unlucky not to get any points, especially the home opener, where the 98th minute goal that everyone remembers.
Yeah, and it's always exciting when Minnesota comes to town. It's like I said, last year was my favorite game. Last year was the Minnesota United game. So if you're thinking of checking out a game or you're traveling from a little ways away, this is the one to do it this Saturday, 3 p.m., TD Place. Can't grab a taco on Bank Street, though. The place burnt down.
But you can grab plenty of beer.
Ah, true. Which always helps, you know, when you're trying to cheer on your local soccer team.
Go Fury!
Well, I think that does it for the show.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Keep getting in touch with us. We're at Ottawa Fury, or our email address again. Ours is thefurypodcast@gmail.com. Check out stonymoneyriot.com. If you want to go to the trip to New York, you know, there's details on the website. Check out Kendra's articles on Northern 11.
Northern Starting 11?
.ca?
Com?
Is it com?
I don't know. But yeah, and proudly hosted by Red Nation Online. Great source for all the Canadian soccer teams.
See you later, guys.
Toodle.
Set those three buildings on fire, because that's what I would do, you know. I would set the building next to me on fire to, like, you know, detract from yourself, and everyone thinks they're the ones that did the arson. I think we may have to edit this.